Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, welcome to you on this Thursday. Thanks for joining us here at Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm glad you're here, thrilled for what's happening day after day as Derek Prince has been teaching us on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. I got to tell you, I've studied this topic. I've been a pastor. I've taught it. But Derek really has broken out some wonderful themes for us. And today he's going to be talking about worshiping God in spirit and truth and the communion and union with God that comes from worship. Yesterday he was talking about warfare. In other days he's been talking about different themes, different facets of the diamond of worship. But today he's really going to take us into the whole idea of our union and communion with God, the relationship, the fellowship with God that comes from worship. Now listen, if you've missed any of this, log on to derekprince.org and be sure you get it into your heart. Remember, you have to listen to a one-hour teaching seven times just to hear every word, much less to really get it into your consciousness. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us on worship.
In my talk today, I'm going to deal with this inward attitude of the heart, which alone can make our worship acceptable to God. The conditions of the heart that alone are acceptable to God are stated by Jesus in his conversation with the Samaritan woman. That's recorded in John chapter 4. Jesus met the woman at the well, and they entered into conversation, and the woman began to talk about the rival claims of Jerusalem and Samaria as centers of worship. The Jews, of course, worshipped in Jerusalem, the Samaritans in Samaria. But when the woman began to discuss the rival claims of these two physical, geographical locations, Jesus turned the conversation in a new and unexpected direction. Here we read John chapter 4, verses 20 through 24. The Samaritan woman said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." I want to draw your attention to certain points in that conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. First of all, the words of Jesus to that woman were prophetic. Within 100 years of that conversation, the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and it had been rendered impossible for the Jewish people to worship there. However, before the temple was destroyed, God made alternative provision for his people to worship him. He transferred the requirements from a physical location to a spiritual condition. And the spiritual condition that Jesus stated was in spirit and in truth. The third point is that God actually seeks worshipers of this kind. This is to me one of the most exciting and amazing statements of the Bible, that Almighty God is seeking for people to worship him. Jesus said, "The Father is looking for worshippers of this kind, the kind that worship in spirit and in truth." Let's look at these two spiritual conditions, the inward conditions of the heart that Jesus states, in spirit and in truth. I want to begin with the latter requirement, in truth. I understand this to mean sincerity, absolute openness and honesty before God. We come to God holding nothing back, concealing nothing, exposing our whole heart and life to him. This requirement of in truth or sincerity definitely excludes a lot of things that are very common in religion. It excludes sham, hypocrisy, and mere outward show. All those are excluded by the requirement in truth. Let me point out to you 8 kinds of person who are excluded from God's presence. The list is given us in Revelation 21, verse 8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Notice the last category in the list, all liars. Liars cannot have access to the presence of Almighty God. That's why we have to worship Him in truth. Again, in 1 John 1, 5 and 6, this is what the Apostle John says. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So when we come to God, we're coming into the light. There's no room for darkness, no room for reservations, no room for insincerity. Everything has to be totally open. You notice the word there, we have fellowship with Him. In my talk yesterday, I pointed out that fellowship and worship go closely together. Both for fellowship and for worship, the condition is unvarying. Absolute honesty, sincerity, openness. We must worship God in truth. Now let's look at the second requirement of the inward attitude of heart for worship. That is, in spirit. We've spoken about in truth. Let's try to see what's meant by in spirit. To understand this, we need to grasp the picture that the Bible gives of total human personality. According to the revelation of the Bible, total human personality consists of three interrelated elements: spirit, soul, and body. This is pictured in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in a prayer of the Apostle Paul, where he says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You'll notice that Paul there is talking about our entire personality, and he defines it as spirit and soul and body. We cannot really understand worship unless we understand the functions and interrelationships of these three elements of personality, spirit, soul, and body. For it is not the soul or the body that must worship God, but the spirit. Let's look back for a moment to the account of the creation of man, given in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. You see, there are two distinct sources to human personality, one from above, one from below. From above, there is the breath, the Spirit of God, breathed into man. From below, there's his physical nature, the body made of clay. The union of spirit and clay produces a living soul, a living human personality, consisting of spirit, soul, and body. But when man sinned and rebelled against God, his spirit was cut off from fellowship with God and became dead to God. So man was then, in the terminology of the Bible, dead in trespasses and sins. When man, in repentance and faith, turns back to God by rebirth, his spirit is renewed and made capable of restored fellowship with God. But we have to understand that it's the spirit of man, not the soul and not the body, that are capable of direct fellowship with God. And again, we see the principle that fellowship and worship go very closely together. So it's through his reborn spirit that man can relate directly to God, person to person, spirit to spirit.
You know, if there's anything that ought to make worshipers of us, it's the truth in John 4 that God is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and truth. I'll tell you what, if God is seeking anything from my life, I want to give it to him. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Do you long to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through his marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Glad that you're with us, and I hope that you've not missed 1 minute of the more than a week and a half that we've been listening to Derek Prince talk to us about Thanksgiving, praise, and worship. It's been powerful. It's been transforming. And now he's going to take us into a whole new understanding of our union with God and worship. Let's listen.
You remember Jesus said, God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit, in the same way that God himself exists. It's that inbreathed part of human personality that comes from God, the Spirit, that alone can relate to God directly and worship God in spirit. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her body? For it is said, the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with him in spirit, or more literally, one spirit. So we're talking about two different ways of two persons uniting with one another. One is the fleshly way, sexual union, a man with a woman. But the other is spiritual way, spiritual union, the spirit of man with the spirit of God. It's an amazing picture, but it's very clear. Just as really as a man can relate with a woman physically in sexual intercourse, so a believer can relate with the Lord spiritually in the communion of worship. That is worshiping God in spirit. Worship is uniting with God in spirit. It's communion with God. It's fellowship with God. It's direct union with God. But man's soul is not capable of that. Man's body is not capable of that. It's only man's spirit that is capable of this unique and most precious of all relationships with God, the relationship of union and communion that comes through worship. This is the highest activity of which man is capable. There's a very clear and beautiful picture of this presented in Psalm 95. A picture of the steps that bring us into worship and of the results that follow from worship. I'll begin by reading the first seven verses of Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. I see there three successive phases, which I want to point out to you. First of all, in verses 1 and 2, we have loud, exuberant praise and thanksgiving. It says, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving, extol him with music and song. That's loud, exuberant praise and thanksgiving. That is, as it were, the prelude. Then in verses 3 through 5, the psalmist gives us reasons for praise and thanksgiving. And you may remember that I said earlier, essentially, we thank God for what he does. We praise him for who he is. And reasons of both kinds are given in these verses. The Lord is the great God. Elsewhere it says in the Psalms, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." His praise must be related to his greatness. And then it says, "The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land." Those are things that God did. When we come to God in this way, with praise and thanksgiving, our vision becomes focused on God and at the same time enlarged, which is essential for worship. Because the great enemy to worship is self-centeredness. As long as we're all wrapped up in ourself and our own problems and the things that are going on all around about us, we're not in a condition to worship God. Then the third phase that issues out of this is in verses 6 and 7 of that Psalm 95, where worship is expressed in attitude, as I've already said. "Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker." And I want to point out two things there that come out of those verses. First of all, worship sets us apart as God's people. The reason given for worshiping is, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture. It's when we worship God that we declare by that act who is our God. The one whom we worship necessarily and inevitably must be our God. That's why it's so important that we worship him and that we worship no other, as I'll point out later in this week. But just accept that point here, that worship sets us apart as God's people. Secondly, worship is our appropriate response to God's tender love and care for us. The reason given is, we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. So when we worship God, that sets us apart to God as his people, and it's our appropriate response to his tender care for us. Now I want to continue with the second part of Psalm 95, which I believe describes the results of worship and also the results of failing to worship. I'm going to read verses 7 through 11 and then comment on them. "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested me and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest." Now Israel, as a people, really failed to accept God's call to worship. And I want to point out to you the results of their failure, as they're stated in that psalm, just to point them out very briefly. First of all, their hearts were hardened. And it's desperately important to understand that if we don't learn to worship, our hearts are liable to become hardened. Secondly, they did not hear God's voice. Thirdly, they provoked God to anger. And fourthly, they did not enter their appointed rest. So you see how important it is that we follow these appointed steps, praise and thanksgiving, that lead us into bowing and kneeling down, an attitude of stillness, of hushed, reverent quietness before God, in which we hear his voice and through which we enter into our appointed rest.
You know, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to have a life in the Spirit. But the reality is that sometimes we're not even sure where our spirit is or what it is. But when we start worshiping God in the way that he commands, the way that he calls for, we start a life in the Spirit that we carry with us all throughout our lives. It's really the way of getting used to being in the Spirit. There's more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Do you long to actually experience a deeper, more intimate relationship with the Creator? In his newly released book, Entering the Presence of God, Derek Prince shows you the spiritual power of worship and the importance of a thankful heart. Through its pages, you'll discover how to live free from the bondage of guilt and sin and truly enter God's rest through his marvelous presence. Don't wait. Order your copy of Entering the Presence of God today. The cost is just $12.95. Call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the way into the very presence of God and experience the spiritual, physical, and emotional blessings that come from true worship. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or order your copy of Entering the Presence of God when you visit us securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thanks for being with us. And we're about to hear Derek Prince in this marvelous teaching on Thanksgiving, praise, and worship talk about the still, small voice of God. In our day of booming worship services and a cacophony of sound in church, we need to hear this message. Let's listen.
To close this talk today, I'd like to take an example from Elijah. This is in 1 Kings chapter 19. Elijah had been running away from Jezebel. He'd taken refuge in the desert, and then he'd made a long journey to Mount Horeb, the place where God originally made his covenant with the children of Israel. And when he was on Mount Horeb, the Lord spoke to him, and he went through a number of dramatic experiences and had a fresh revelation of the Lord. I want to read this. 1 Kings 19, verses 11 through 13. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. That's what I call the prelude to worship: the wind, the earthquake, the fire. Tremendous, tumultuous noise and excitement, but it's not worship. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. The Amplified Bible says a sound of gentle stillness. That's what I want you to associate with worship, the sound of gentle stillness. When Elijah heard it, this gentle whisper, he pulled his cloak over his face. What's that? That's worship, just like the seraphs that covered their face and their feet with their wings in the presence of God. Elijah covered his own face. He pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You see, he heard the voice of God. He'd come into that place of stillness and reverence in God's presence where God could speak to him. So just note those points. Think about them. The cloak over the face, that's worship. In that attitude, Elijah heard God's whisper, which he couldn't hear in any other way. And through hearing God's voice, if you read the account that follows, he received new direction and strength. He went out a man renewed with a new purpose.
You know, if what the Bible says about worship is true, and if what the Bible says about the human heart is true, then all of us have a need for God that really can only be met through worship. Now, there's a need for God that's met through the Word, and there's a need for God that's met in other ways. Don't misunderstand. But there, our souls are parched for union with God, for knowledge of Him that comes by relationship. There's a Greek word that means to know by intimacy with. It's the word that's actually used of a sexual union between a man and a wife. God wants to know us in the Spirit. He wants our souls to be fulfilled, answered by His presence and by His Spirit. Worship is that key. Give yourself to worship. Do it today in the way that Derek's been teaching us, and your life will be transformed. That's not my promise. That's not a promise as a marketing plan. That's a promise from the Word of God. Well, that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow on Friday as the legacy continues.
Take a moment to order your copy of Derek's new and inspiring book, Entering the Presence of God. Available right now for only $12.95. Simply call us toll-free, 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. The cost is only $12.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your copy of Entering the Presence of God securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org.